supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Humans last left footprints and tire tracks on the moon 46 years ago this month. Let's look back and then ahead on Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, hard to believe that the Apollo mission came and went in a blink of the eye.
Yes, indeed, it did. And there were a number of missions in the Apollo program, maybe most notably Apollo 17. It was the very last one of the series of Apollo missions in which humans walked on the surface of the moon from Apollo 11 through Apollo 17, with the exception of Apollo 13, which did not have the opportunity to land on the moon due to a technical malfunction. But in that particular mission, the 17 mission, it was the mission in which there were three moonwalks, a little over 7 hours each. And the two astronauts who were there on the moon, Harrison Schmitt and Eugene Cernan, took their lunar rover to cover 22 miles across the surface of the moon. Quite an accomplishment for explorers from another world.
Presumably, they had to follow their tire prints to find their way back.
You would think they did. And yes, they had maps that they could use, of course, to find their way back. And they would simply retrace their steps. And each day, they would strike out in a different direction to achieve different objectives, going to different locations to pick up over 100 pounds of rocks on the last day, 75 pounds of rocks on the second day, and so on and so forth like that. So they had quite a haul when they came back, which was incredibly important considering that, A, this was their last mission, and number two, that one of the two astronauts on the surface of the moon, Harrison Schmitt, was the only scientist, the only geologist ever to make it to the moon. So in that sense, it was the perfect pair to be out there.
And now, 46 years on, China has its sights set on the moon, but the dark side.
Yes, indeed. This is probably a surprise to many people to learn that China has just launched a mission towards the moon that's going to land on December 31st. It's going to land on the dark side of the moon, actually.
Are there challenges then to keep up with its progress?
Yes, that's what's going to happen. The spacecraft has to land autonomously. There's no opportunity to control it from Earth because, obviously, the moon will be blocking the direct radio transmission. So the way in which Earth will communicate with the spacecraft is through one of the other orbiters that the Chinese have placed in lunar orbit. And so there will be periodic opportunity for the spacecraft on the surface of the moon and ground controllers in China to talk about what's going on there. And it's mostly surface experimentation that's going on, doing some seismic testing in a sense and trying to get a better feel for what that section of the moon is like.
Is much known about the dark side of the moon based on firsthand evidence?
Yes, there is. There's plenty, actually, because there are a number of orbiters that have been to the moon that have gathered a lot of information. Lots of photography's been done. So not only do we know a lot about that side of the moon, but all the craters on that side of the moon have been mapped and have been named. The Chinese are actually putting this lander down in the largest and oldest impact crater in the solar system. So they're going to look at a spot that has been highly altered by a very large impact a few billion years ago. And in this way, they'll hopefully be able to get a better understanding of the origin of the moon and something better understanding about its current composition and its current internal structure.
Seems like China's venture is one of several efforts to look aloft this month.
This has been a very, very busy month, a very busy week, in fact, for space activity. You know, SpaceX had two successful launches this past week alone. Three astronauts reached International Space Station successfully, so there are now six astronauts on board space station. The InSight lander on Mars landed about a week ago. OSIRIS-REx is an orbiter that has arrived at the asteroid Bennu in an effort to try to better understand asteroids. The New Horizons spacecraft that flew past Pluto in 2016 is well on its way to a rendezvous with a really interesting object called Ultima Thule out in the Kuiper Belt. And that's going to happen December 31st, January 1st, right around there. And curiously enough, Queen, lead guitarist, and astrophysicist Brian May has actually written original music for the New Horizons flyby, and he's released teaser videos about this. If you'd like to catch those, you can find them on YouTube. But it is really interesting to have this confluence of all of this space exploration activity right around now. It might lead you to believe that maybe December is a good month for space exploration.
And for the rest of us who have to take in the night sky on terra firma, what's available to be seen this week?
Great stuff to see in the sky this week. Venus looks absolutely fabulous in the morning before sunrise. In that 6 a.m. hour, you can see it then. And in fact, it was right below the moon on December 3rd, just earlier this week, and you may have been able to see the pair together if you were out that early. The next opportunity to see the moon and Venus together comes on January 1st and January 2nd. In the meantime, though, in the evening sky, Mars is looking just fabulous in the southern sky as well, still bright and easy to recognize without too much difficulty. The lovely red color makes it stand out, but there's also an alignment of Mars and the Moon coming up on the evening of Friday, December 14th. Take a look for those two. You'll be able to see just how the Moon slides past Mars if you start your viewing the day before, observe on the 14th, and the day after on the 15th as well. The changing position of the Moon indicates how it is orbiting the Earth.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on WHYY.